We're continuing into what they call the Book of Nehemiah. The Talmud tells us that Nehemiah was in fact Zerubbabel. We know that the leader of the Jews, the governor of the Jews in Israel, when they ascended, was Zerubbabel. And we don't hear too much about him. In the Book of Ezra, they are enumerated as two people. In the Book of Ezra, you have a verse that speaks, that enumerates Zerubbabel and Nehemiah. But it doesn't seem like that Nehemiah is our Nehemiah. It seems like that's a different Nehemiah. We are now going to learn. The names represent concepts. The names are not necessarily the names they were called. The Gemara says, why didn't Nehemiah get a book after his own name? So the Gemara says, because in the middle of the book, smack in the middle, Nehemiah is going to say a prayer. And he's going to ask Hashem, help me out. Remember all the good I've done. And when a person takes credit like that, in heaven they take away credit from him. So because he said the words, remember all the good I've done, it was removed from him the credit of having the book named after him. That's what the Talmud says. So his book was swallowed into Ezra's book. Another opinion in the Gemara is because within his speech, we're going to see that he speaks about how his predecessors were less complimentary. So because he spoke negatively about the previous leaders of Israel, the Gemara says that's why his name was, so to speak, hidden. And that's why he doesn't get his book named after him. Because really, the book of Nehemiah is a separate book. Really, the book is a separate description of the Jewish ascent during the second Beit HaMikdash times. To my mind, it's a fascinating description, but it's really a separate description. We're going to repeat, right? So the Gemara gives us different reasons as to why Nehemiah doesn't get his own name on his book. And we begin. Divrei Nehemiah ben Chachelia. From here on, Nehemiah's writing. Ve'ivechodesh Kislev shnat esrim. It was the month of Kislev. It was the 20th year of Daryavesh. So, Daryavesh has allowed the Jews to rebuild the second Beit HaMikdash. V'ani hayiti, I was in Shushan Habira, the capital Shushan. So ever since Achashverosh shifted the capital to Shushan, it's remained that way. Vayavo Hanani, a messenger came, Echad Me'achai, one of my friends, Huva Anashim Yehuda, he and some people from Judea. Vayashalem ala Yehudim apeleita shenisharu min hashevi v'al Yerushalayim. I asked him, how are the Jews doing? How are the remnants, those who escaped from Babylon? How are they doing? And how is the city of Jerusalem? Vayomeruli. So they told me, "Hanisharim asher nisharu min hashevi sham b'medina b'ra'a gedola uvecherpa." They said, "Whoever's there, the Jews. Oh boy, are they suffering! Oh boy, are they shamed!" The Chomat Yerushalayim meforatzet. The walls of Jerusalem are broken, and the enemies come in and loot them repeatedly. Its gates were burnt in heaven, and so they have no protection, and they have a very dire existence. They're living in Israel, in Jerusalem, and they're being attacked all the time, and they have no real protection. Nehemiah says, when I heard this, yashavti vavke, I sat and wept, and I mourned for a number of days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, please, Hashem, the God of heaven, akel hagadol v'anora. Notice, just like Ezra removed the word gibor, how can you say Hashem is mighty when the enemies are putting down his people? So too, Nehemiah doesn't say the word gibor. Shomer haberit v'chesed lo avav ul shomrei mitzvotav. Hashem, you retain the covenant, your kindness to those who love you and adhere to your mitzvot. Te'inauz necha kashevet v'einecha fetuchot. Your ears should hearken, your eyes should see. Lishma al tefilat avdecha, listen to the prayer of your servant. Asher anochi mitpalel lefanecha yom yomam v'layla. I'm praying before you day and night. Al bnei Yisrael avdecha, over the Jews, your servants. I'm confessing what we, the Jewish people, have transgressed against you. And I and my father's family have also transgressed. He says, we've been destructive towards you. ולא שמענו את המצוות ואת החוקים ואת המשפטים שרצית את משה עבדך. We did not adhere to the commandments, the statutes, the legal system that you commanded Moshe your servant. זכרונת הדבר שרצית את משה עבדך לאמור. But please remember what you commanded through Moshe your servant. אתם תמלאו, אני אפיץ אתכם בעמים. If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. However, you then said, "Vishavtem elai." If you, the Jews, return to me, ushmartem mitzvotai and adhere to my mitzvos, vasitem otam and perform them, im yieni dachachem mikteh hashamayim misham akabetzim. Even if you're scattered to the edge of the heavens, I will gather you from there. Vaviotim la makom asher bachalti l'shaken et shemisham. I'll bring them back to the place that I've chosen to dwell my name there. Vehem avadecha v'amecha, Hashem, this is your servant, this is your people. Asher padita b'chochacha gadol v'yadacha chazaka, you redeemed them with your great might and your powerful arm. Ana Hashem, please, Hashem, tina oznecha kashevet. Please listen el tefilat avdecha, to your servant's prayer. Vel tefilat avadecha chafetzim neira et shemecha. And the prayer of all your servants who seek to fear your name. Vatzichana l'avdecha ayom, give me success. Let me find favor before this man, Darius the king. And my job was, I was the butler, I was the man who brought the king his wine to drink. That was Nehemiah's job. He would see the king repeatedly. Now, the butler has an in with the king, because he's there all the time. And the king talks to him. And he makes the cocktails for the king, right? The Bloody Mary, the whatever, the thing on the rocks, right? So the king knows that he's going to make his drinks. The law used to be that in order to ensure that the wine wasn't poisoned, the butler would have to drink before he gives it to the king. So Hatirshata was a nickname that was given to Nehemiah. Hatir Shata, Hetir Shata, they permitted him to drink from non-Jewish wine. Nehemiah was permitted to drink from the wine by the king. Vaybechodesh. Like what? Yeah, Kriktiv. Thursday night. Next week. This week you guys are going to be dancing Thursday night. Vaybechodesh Nisan. I hope to be dancing too. It was the month of Nisan. Shnat Esrim L'Artachshasta Melech. It was the 20th year of Darius, who was also called Artachshasta. Yain Lefanav. They brought him wine into his courtyard. I carried the wine, I brought it before the king. Velo Ayiti Ra Lefanav. And he wasn't accustomed to seeing me with a scowl. I'd always come in front of him with this big smile, cheery and happy. I always had a positive mood. Vayomer li amelech. So the king said to me, "Madu apanecha ra'im? Why do you look bad? V'atai necha chole. You're not ill." Now, Dariavish is always suspect, and maybe people want to kill him. Just like Ahasuerus was always suspect. And so, Darius asks him a question like that, he's getting really nervous. Ein zekim ro'alev. Something's bothering you. Vayira arbe meot. I got very scared. And so Darius is telling him exactly what he doesn't want to hear. Darius is saying, "You must have poisoned my wine. And that's why you're uneasy. Today you look different. And Nehemiah realizes that he is a footstep away from being executed. I said to the king, "Hamelech lo'olam yichyeh, I want you to live forever. Long live the king. Why won't I look bad? The city of Jerusalem, where my forefathers are buried, is now in ruins, and its gates have been consumed by fire." Yeah, I'm upset. But I'm upset because I just found out that my hometown is destroyed. So the king said to me, "So what do you want?" And I said a quick prayer to Hashem. And I said, "Hashem, please let me succeed. Let me have what I'm going to ask him." So I said to Darius, "If it is good before you, and I find favor before you, send me to Judea, the city where my forefathers were buried, and let me rebuild it." So the king tells me, as he had sitting right next to him, the Shegal. What is the Shegal? So one interpretation is Shegal is his mistress. The second interpretation is Shegal was his dog who he used to sleep with like a mistress. A third interpretation is that Shegal just means a woman. And the woman who was sitting next to him was his mother Esther. And his mother Esther looks at him and says, "Darius, you're a Jew. Darius, that's my hometown too." And that's why, that's the interpretation the Malbim brings. He says, otherwise, why suddenly is this mentioned here? That a woman was there or a dog was there. We saw the Shegal was a dog or a mistress in the book of Daniel when Belshazzar was feeding everyone wine in the goblets of the Beit HaMikdash. So it says he even gave the Shegal to drink in those goblets. So one interpretation was it was his pet dog that he gave him wine to drink in the goblets of the Beit HaMikdash. Okay, there I understand the mention of Shegal. But over here, why does it matter if there was a dog or the mistress right next to him? And that's why the Malbim says Shegal means the woman. And sometimes it can mean the woman like it, by Belshazzar, who was his mistress. Or it could mean over here the woman Esther, who is going to tell him, "Son, do this for me. Ad matai yiyeh malachacha umatai tashuv." So Daryavish says, "How long do you want to go for? When do you come back? When do you return?" The king accepted it. He sent me, and I gave him a time. I said to him, "If it finds favor before you, give me a letter. I'm going to come to the governors on the other side of the Euphrates. I want you to give them an order that they should accompany me till I come to Judea." We saw in the book of Ezra earlier that Ezra was very concerned. It seems very clear from the book of Ezra that the travel from Persia to Israel was very unsafe. There were many enemies of the Jews along the way. We saw in Ezra, they had a special prayer to make it safely to Jerusalem. And now we see again that Nehemiah says, I need the governors of the other side of the Euphrates to give me an accompaniment so I can make it to Jerusalem. I need a letter from you to Asaf, who's responsible over your orchards. I want him to give me wood. I want to line the gates of the capital. I want to beautify the walls of the Temple Mount. I want to build myself a house where I will convene over Jerusalem. So the king gave me whatever I asked him. Hashem had given me this assistance, I should succeed, and Darius gives me license. Yeah, take from my orchards, take wood, take with you, go rebuild Jerusalem. So I came to the governors on the other side of the Euphrates. I bring them the letters from the king. The king sent with me, in my honor, he sent officers and soldiers and horsemen to accompany me all the way to Jerusalem. And when I came to help the Jews, so the enemies of the Jews who had been attacking them repeatedly, the first, his name is Sanballat. He heard I was coming. V'toviyah heved Ammoni, Toviyah from the Ammonites. They got very upset. They said, why is a Jew coming to help the Jews? And they're going to start plotting how to assassinate Nehemiah. I had spent 3 days in Jerusalem. At the end of 3 days, I got up at night. I took a few people with me. I didn't tell anyone what God had given me a plan to do to Jerusalem. I took some people with me. I didn't take any cattle with me. I took a few people. They were walking with me. And I rode on my own animal. But I didn't want a lot of people on the animals because I didn't want other people to notice we were going. Here's what he's going to do. You heard of Shar Haggai? Here's where it comes from. I went out of Shar Haggai, Laila, in the middle of the night. You heard of Shar Ashpot, Dung Gate? Here you have it. He says, I went to Shar Ashpot, Vayishover Bechomot Yerushalayim. His plan is as follows. They bring hammers along. They start breaking down the walls of Jerusalem. Nehemiah knows, after spending 3 days in Israel, you tell the Jews, I want your money, I want your time, I want your investments, I want you to build the walls with me. And the Jews say, there are walls, what's the problem? So Nehemiah sees he can't argue with them. So what he does is, in one night, he takes a few men with him and he starts breaking down the walls. So I started breaking down whole areas of the walls, so that when the Jews will wake up in the morning, he continues. You've heard of the Sultan's pool? So there was a pool of the king. It was tied over there. I'm going up the stream and breaking the wall as I go along. I came back. The nobles didn't know where I had gone. They didn't know what I had done. Until this point, I didn't tell anyone what I was doing. So then the next morning, they wake up. The walls are all breached. Nehemiah says, oh my gosh, look what happened. You see what a terrible state we're in. Look at us. Our gates are burnt. Shouldn't we all get up and rebuild the city? And then our enemies won't be able to keep attacking us freely and looting us. Now, Nehemiah is the guest. He hasn't yet told them what license he has from the king. He spent 3 days, he understood what's going on, he decided this is the way to arouse them. Now that they're all worried, what do we do now? He tells them, I got good news. The king sent me to help you rebuild the walls. I have whatever we need to do it. Notice the brilliance of what he's doing. He first causes them to be interested in rebuilding. Then he tells them, you know what, I have the materials. If you show up and tell people, I have what it takes. I had once that there was a person, I'll tell you off the record. So Nehemiah realizes that if he just makes things available, so then the people will take it for granted, and then they'll be doing him the favor. They won't even appreciate that he's doing them the favor. So Nehemiah says, first let me arouse them. And so that's what happens. The people say, okay, we're ready. The people got strengthened and said, okay, we're going to do this. So the enemies, the leaders of our enemies, started mocking us. So they start arousing the old anti-Semitic lines. You guys are rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem because you're preparing a rebellion against the king. So Nehemiah answered them, Amar lehem Elokei Hashemayim yitzlech lanu. The God of heaven will give us success. V'anachnu avadav nakumu v'aninu. We are the servants of Hashem. We will rebuild. V'lechem en chelek utzdaka v'zikon miyushalayim. You guys have no portion here. What's your interest here? We want to help you. No, you don't. Leave. V'yakam en yishiv ha-kohen gadol v'echav ha-kohanim v'yivnu et shah ha-ratzon. Heima kiddushu. V'yamidu dal totav. They rebuild a gate called the gate of the sheep. And they sanctify that section. And people started taking the sections of the wall that was next to their home and rebuilding that section. Everyone took a responsibility for the wall that was next to their house and they started rebuilding it. And that's what happens here. The next psukim go through the walls around Jerusalem and it describes the families that lived next to those walls and rebuilt them. And that takes us through many psukim here. And that takes us till Pasuk Lamed Gimel. The description of the different families and the parts of the walls that they built. So Sanvalat, the leader of our enemies, got very upset. He came to Makas. So he told his brothers and the army of the Samaritans, what are those pitiful Jews doing? You really think they'll bring sacrifices? Do you really think that they're going to finish building that wall? Are we going to allow them to bring back life to that rubble, to those burnt stones? And together with him was another enemy of ours, Toviah, from the Ammonites. He also mocked us and he said, the wall they're building is so weak that even a fox could break it. So when I heard that, I started davening and I said, Rabon Shalom, look at how they mock us. Shame them back. And let them be exiled and looted far away from us. And don't cover up, Rabon Shalom, their transgressions. They were trying to anger and they spoke and mocked those rebuilding. We rebuilt the wall, half the wall's rebuilt. When we reached the halfway mark, everyone started getting excited. They started seeing this is going to happen. So now, Sanvalat, Toviah, Aravim. Now we're starting to see Arab tribes. This isn't Muslims, these are Arabs. They start hearing that we're succeeding to rebuild the walls. They get very upset. And our enemies all around, from the north to the south, unite to come and disrupt the building of Jerusalem. And we pray. And what they have to start doing is setting up guards day and night to protect the walls. Now the people of Judea started complaining. They said, we can't handle this, carrying the stones, carrying the wood, and then on top of that, standing and protecting the walls. How are we going to do this? Our enemies said, they don't know that before they're ready, we're going to make a mass pogrom and we're going to wipe out whatever Jews made it to Jerusalem. And so Nehemiah realizes he has two threats. the people of Israel say, we don't have strength to keep building. The enemies say, now's the time to attack, before the Jews finish building. So he's at the halfway mark, the end is near, and he has a challenge from within and without. And this is one of the rules in life. Whenever you're about to make a great breakthrough, you hit a huge bump in the road. We never make huge advancements in life before we hit a huge place where you say, wait a second, everything's going to fall apart on me. You're about to lose everything. That's when you're about to gain everything. Whenever you're faced with a challenge that it looks like everything's gone, like you have to stop and remind yourself, Nehemiah was here too. There's a book written about this. The founder of Intel wrote a book. He calls it Inflection Points. Every company reaches a point. Every company that's going to succeed reaches a point where they're about to crumble, where it's sink or swim, and it looks like you're sinking. And you have to stop and realize this is the point from which we can become the greatest company. This is the point where we can become the greatest individual. Challenges in life are moments where you can develop greatness. That's the concept, what we call mashber. In Judaism, the term mashber means a breaking point. Mashber also means the birthing stone, because the birthing stone was a stone with a V shape. And the woman would put her two knees on the two sides of the V shape, and then she'd push her knees against the birthing stone as she was having her contractions and pushing the baby out. So on the birthing stone, that's where life comes out, but it's the hardest moments. Those are the moments where she feels like she's going to die. That's, in Hebrew, the word mashber. You've hit your breaking point, but mashber is also the V-shaped birthing stone. That's the point from which you have great success. And that's where Nehemiah is right now. So our enemies start uniting against us. And now, what's happened is, our enemies who are living throughout Israel have within their troops many Jews. There are Jews that are living throughout the land of Israel, and the Jews are in the armies of the enemies of Judea. And when the enemies are approaching Jerusalem, there are Jews within those troops coming with the armies that are going to attack Jerusalem. And this is where we'll pick up Bezat Hashem tomorrow.